Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to read some very familiar verses there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I've never figured up how many different messages I've tried to preach out of this passage of Scripture, but it's several, I do know that. And the Lord laid something on my heart a few weeks ago. I'm going to try to preach this morning, and I hope you will pray with us. And of course, we've got the Lord's Supper this morning. We'll be doing that here directly after the service. And let's just pray the Lord has His way this morning. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 down through verse number 34. Of course, the Bible tells us that when we have the Lord's Supper, we're to examine ourselves. We're to inspect ourselves spiritually and examine where we are with the Lord, or if we are with the Lord. And that's part of the Lord's Supper this morning. So although I'm not preaching on that, I would encourage you this morning, as the Bible says, that we would all examine ourselves before the Lord this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day and all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we just come this morning with a special prayer request that, God, you would be with Sister Judy today, Brother Norman. Lord, we know that, God, this morning they got all excited about the possibility of her having her transplant today. And then just a few hours later, Lord, they told them it wasn't going to take place. And so, Lord, we know they're just going through so much right now, and I just can't even imagine the emotional roller coaster that they're on. But God, I know your grace is sufficient for all things. Lord, it's always been sufficient for me. Lord, I know it's for all of us, and Lord, it'll be sufficient for them. But God, we just especially pray for them today. Lord, we pray, God, that your will would be done in that situation, that you would help them and lead, guide, and direct as only you can. Lord, we also come just praying on behalf of all those that are sick, those that are lost and do not know you and the free pardon of sin. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for revival in all the churches still having revival. We pray for the service tonight. We pray for this service today, God, that you would speak to our hearts. If they'd be one that's here that's not saved, I pray you'd convict them and show them and save them by thy marvelous grace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us, Lord, that are saved, and we know that we're saved. And God, help us to examine our hearts and lives this morning as well. Help me, Lord, as only you can, I pray. I commit it into thy hands. I ask, God, that you'd just move and work this morning, and that you'd have your way, and we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. I want us to read verse number 24 one more time. That's where I'm going to preach from this morning. There's a little thought in there. The Lord spoke to me, as I said a few weeks ago, on a Sunday morning, sitting right down there where Brother Bill's sitting. Verse number 24, the Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." This is what I want to preach on this morning. "This do in remembrance of me." That'd be my title this morning. "This do in remembrance of me." And I was sitting down there and the choir was singing and it was real good and I was enjoying it and worshiping the Lord, and my eyes lighted on the communion table, and I asked them last night if they'd leave the cover where we could read that this morning. But I just got to looking at that and thinking about that. You know, that's a good message for us, not just when we're having the Lord's table, but all the time. I think a lot of times we just think of that little phrase when we are having the Lord's Supper, "This do in remembrance of me." But you know, since it's right here in the church and it's where we can all read it, it'd be good for us every time we meet together to remember that what we do, we're doing in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we come together to preach, when we come together to pray, when we come together to worship, when we come together to sing, we ought to do everything that we do as the Word of God says, "This do in remembrance of me." So I begin to meditate on that and think about it and roll it over in my mind and pray about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I seen in it. And it's so much more than just a part of a verse this morning. It's so much more than just the end of that or something that you'd write on a communion table. I know some are smaller and it might just say "in remembrance," but there's a lot in that verse. And I want to show you some things this morning, three things about this verse and the Christian life. I want to say first of all this morning that the Christian life, when we think about it, and everything that we do, I mean everything that we do, whether it's in church, out of the church, in our families, at work, everything we do for our Lord, we ought to keep this in mind. "This do in remembrance of me." And first of all this morning, and I'm breaking it up into two words apiece, there's six words there. First of all, I want to say this morning concerning that and the Christian life, it is a life of action. Verse number 24, first of all, it just simply says, "This do." That's an action word this morning. "This do." Think about that with me this morning. The word "do" is a word that we associate with work. We might be sitting around somewhere and we've been talking or having lunch or something like that, and we'll say, "Well, I need to get up and do something." We're talking about we need to do something profitable. There's some work that needs to be done. There's a project that needs to be tackled. There's something that, some work that needs to be done. And we associate that word with work. And I will say this morning that it is good and right for us as Bible-believing people to put a great emphasis on, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are saved by grace through faith. And we emphasize that. We preach that. We believe that. We tell others, you know, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. That's right, isn't it? You can't do anything to save yourself. You can't be good enough. You can't do good enough. You can't impress God. The Bible says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. There's not a one of us this morning could come before God and say, "Hey God, look at me. Look how good I am. Look what I've done in order to that you might, or you ought to let me go to heaven when I die because I've been so good." I mean, you talk about what a joke that would be. None of us could say that this morning. None of us could brag about how good we are or what we've done or anything. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works. But God didn't save us to sit on the stool and do nothing, did he? It goes on and it says in verse number 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We are saved not just to look pretty, not just to come to church, not just to dress up once or twice a week and come in and carry our Bibles and look like we're saved or look like a Christian. We're saved to do something for him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are saved to do something for our Lord and Savior. And you know, if we had a whole lot of time on this subject, the more I thought about it and prayed about it and studied about it, the more I've seen. If we had a month of Sundays, we could preach on that little word, those two words, this do. Because Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Now, that'd be a lot of messages right there. That'd be a big study. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's what Paul said. And then if we had another month of Sundays, we could preach on Philippians 3:13, where Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. So in the same book, Paul talks about I can do all things, and then he says, this one thing I do. I mean, there's a lot the Word of God talks about that we ought to do and should do and all of those things. So we could take a long time this morning if we just thought about what the Word of God said that we ought to do. But if I had just a few minutes this morning to give you the key to all the do's in the Bible, and I looked it up, there's over 1,200 times the word do is found in the Bible, so I don't have time. I don't have time, but if I had one place I could go this morning and share with you something out of the Word of God that I believe would be the key to all the rest of it, I'd go over to Genesis chapter number 22. I'm not going to take time to turn over there this morning, but if we could go over there and we could see in the life of Abraham. There's something that God said to Abraham over there in Genesis 22 and verse 16 and 17. Part of it goes like this. The Lord said to Abraham, for because thou hast done this thing, I will bless thee. God said to Abraham, because thou hast done this thing, I will bless thee. And I'm sure all of us this morning, we'd say, wow, I wonder what he did, because we all want the blessing of God, don't we? I mean, if I could find something in the Word of God that if I would do it, God would bless me, I believe I'd be interested in doing it. And God told Abraham, because thou hast done this thing, I will bless thee. And what did he do over there? Some of you know what he did in Genesis chapter number 22, but we might ask ourselves the question, what could I do that God would bless me? Did he pray? Well, he prayed, but that's not the main thing. Did he build an altar over there? Well, he built an altar, but that's not why God said he blessed him. What else could you do? Did he defeat an enemy? Well, Abraham did that in his life, but that's not why God blessed him. Did he take a wife and did he have a child and all that? Yeah, he did all those things, but that's not why God blessed him and said that he would bless him over there. In Genesis chapter 22, if we went over there this morning, what we would find Abraham did to get and gain the blessing of God, he put his all on the altar. That's what he did. Over in Genesis chapter 22, that is where God told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mount and sacrifice him there. And you know what? That is exactly what Abraham went about to do. He put his all on the altar. He put his future on the altar because God had already told him, I'll make thee a great nation. He put all of that on the altar. He put his hope on the altar. He put everything on the altar for God. And when he pulled back that knife and got ready to sacrifice Abraham, that's where the Lord intervened. And he said, that's enough. I provided a sacrifice. God put a ram in the thicket. And I don't know what Isaac's reaction was, but if it had been me, I think I'd have said, shoo. I'll tell you, I'm sure that was a tense time. But Abraham, just as serious as a man can be serious, he went up there to obey God with everything that God had told him to do. And he put his whole life, his whole future, his whole hope, he put everything on the altar for God. And when they came down off the mountain, God said, because thou hast done this thing in not withholding thine son, thine only son from me, God said, I'll bless thee. You want to have the blessing of God on your life? Paul said this in Romans 12 and 1. He said, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you know what? As we come today to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we think about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, you know what? It's easier to appreciate what Jesus has done for us when we've sacrificed for Him in our lives too, when we've given something for Him. And I think in this modern day in which we live, I don't think the ratio is as great as it one time was for those that have truly put their all on the altar and given everything to God and dedicated their lives to Him. But I'll tell you, that's still the way to get the blessing of God on your life. The Christian life is a life of action. It is a life of not just doing nothing. It's a life of doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, there's been times in my life where I've had more action than I could just about stand. I told Kim one time, I said, I'm going to preach a message one of these days on the adventure of serving God. It's good. It's good to serve the Lord. It's a blessing. It's an adventure. It's a life of action. I highly recommend it this morning. But as I looked in them words this morning, I looked at that, and I say the Christian life, it's a life of action. It says, this do. It's a life of action. But I look on down this morning, not only is it a life of action, but it is a life of contemplation as well. Verse 24, the Bible says this. It says, in remembrance. This do in remembrance. Look on down in verse 25, the Bible says down there, it said, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The Christian life is a life of contemplation. We ought to be thinking about what we're doing and why we're doing. And we're doing this morning in remembrance of what he done for us. That Jesus Christ died upon the cross and he gave his body and he gave his blood for you and I so that we could be saved by his marvelous grace. It's no accident. If you look back in chapter 11 in verse number 2, what Paul said over there, he said, this same chapter in verse number 2, he said, and I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. And I was studying about that word keep over there. It means to hold down fast, to keep in memory, such as if you were to pull a ship up to a dock and you were to take a big chain or a big rope or something and you were to tie it down fast and keep it there. God has given us the ordinances to keep. God has tied us to the dock of Calvary so that we wouldn't forget and get very far away for what he's done for us and all that he's done for us. You see, God knows how easily we forget. Oh, we are so forgetful for what he's done for us. We forget about Calvary and we forget about his love and we forget about what's really important and we get busy in our lives and we get in a routine of serving him and we go through the motions and we just forget what it's really all about. One preacher came one time and preached for me and he preached on the subject. He preached on why are you doing what you're doing? And I remember that's always stuck with me. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do we do what we do? Why are we doing what we're doing this morning? It's in remembrance of him. We are to make a conscious effort today to remember what the Lord's done for us. To thank him. Think about Calvary and think about his body and think about his blood which he shed for us on Calvary. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, Peter said, Beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Well, to remember what the Lord's done for us. Three times here he puts us in remembrance, and it is specifically of Calvary and his body and his blood. I believe we'd be better Christians if we had a better memory. If we had a better memory, I don't know about anybody else. I have problems sometimes. I do, and you do too. And I think one of the reasons, I don't think it's so much we say, well, I'm getting old timers and all like that. I think we, most of us, have got so much on our minds. And we go into a room and we've got 10 things on our mind and we say, what did I come in here for? I know it's not that I can't remember. I can remember some things, but I'm like you this morning. I've got so much on my mind. It is hard to come to church and get in a mind, a frame of mind to truly worship God and think about what He done for us on Calvary and to forget about the pretty day and what you're doing after church and next week and school and activities and ball games and all the stuff. Work, and I mean everything else under the sun. It's hard for us to just sit back and think about Calvary, but we'd be better Christians if we had a better memory of what the Lord has done for us. I've done a whole lot of studying and reading about great saints of the past and what made them great. One of the things that made them great was they had great contemplative powers. I mean, they just seemed to me like they had the ability to sit down and think about God and worship Him and just focus upon Him and feed and nurture their spirit. And we miss that many times today. Well, I'll tell you what, just like that song we sing, and I think maybe last Sunday or last Wednesday night, sang that song, sometimes I like to be all alone with my Lord and just sit down and think about Him and all that He's done for us and all that He's blessed us with and saving us and where we were and where He brought us from and who He is and what He's done and all of that stuff. I mean, if you don't believe me that there's a great gap between the saints of old and the saints today, just pick up that red hymn book and read through it. Pick up that greenback book right there and read through it and read some of them old songs. Read about, we sang that song this morning. I'd already thought about it. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light. Praise God. They thought about what the Lord had done for them. You'd be a better Christian this morning if you'd take time to remember what the Lord's done for you and how that God was manifest in the flesh and Jesus Christ loved you so much that He died upon the cross of Calvary and shed His blood so that you and I, unworthy, worm, wretched sinners that we are, could go to heaven one day. Boy, He's done a lot for us. We ought to remember it this morning, this do. The Bible says, the Word of God says, this do in remembrance of me. If you don't think there's a great gap, you look in them old song books and you think you read the depth that is in there and the doctrine that is in there and the Word of God that's in there and compare it to some of this modern day junk. I know it's Memorial Day and I'm not throwing off much, but the very fact that a program called The Gospel Ship would play a song by a heathen named Tracy Atkins on Sunday morning in honor of Memorial Day about people dying and being buried in Arlington. And I know there's a message in that all by itself, but I'm telling you, we've gone far away from the way it used to be, where, you know, just about any old thing will do, long as it sort of makes you feel good and all that kind of stuff. We're far removed. But the old time saints, they were great because they recognized and realized and they remembered what the Lord had done for them. The psalmist said in Psalms 34 and verse number 8, he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good." He's good this morning. Well, if we just take some time and remember what the Lord has done for us. Boy, I like it. I'll tell you, if you say, "Preacher, I'm sort of cold and I'm sort of indifferent and I hadn't felt the Spirit of God this morning and I've got so much on my time," I promise you, if you'd take time and really make the effort in your heart and in your mind this morning and just decide that you're going to praise Him and thank Him and remember what He's done for you, He'll come by. He'll come by. We went Monday night down to Antioch, and I'll be honest, I needed to go. I wasn't in the best frame of mind. We went, and boy, it's a good service, but I just wasn't feeling it to begin with. I'd had a difficult day, and we all do that sometimes, and boy, everybody was enjoying it, people going to the altar and all that stuff, and I was sitting there, and I was saying, Lord, I know it's me. Lord, I know it's me, God, and I begin to try to get my heart right and focus on Him and think, and I'll tell you what, next thing I know, the Lord came by. Man, it's good. It's good. I was studying over there Wednesday morning, I believe it was. Boy, I got to thinking about God and meditating on what He had done for me. And I sat over there for 2.5 hours. I'd come to get ready to study for Wednesday night. And I was sitting there with my Bible and everything and my notebook and pens and paper and all of that stuff. And I wrote down in the margin. I wrote the date down and I put, it has been hard for me to study today. Because the waves of Christ's love keep crashing on my soul. Man, I had a good time. Say, preacher, I don't understand that. If you'd remember what He's done for you. Boy, if you just get somewhere and thank Him and begin to praise Him and say, oh God, I was in a horrible pit. I was on my way to hell and You reached down and lifted me out and put my feet on a solid rock. I'll tell you, we could worship Him here today if we'd remember what He done for us. Christian life's a life of contemplation. It's a life of meditation. It's a life that we just can't forget about what He's done for us. If we forget about what He's done for us, we're not going to be what we ought to be for Him. Praise God, I'm glad He's done such a great many things for us today, and we can remember it. We can thank Him for it. It's a life of action. It's a life of contemplation. Last of all, this morning, it is a life of transformation. Look what He said in verse 24. He said, this do. That's action. In remembrance, that's contemplation. Then He said, of Me. That's transformation. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? You know, just to be honest this morning, most of us, we live our lives, most of our lives, just thinking it's all about us. Me, my, what I want to do, and my plans, and my future, and my happiness, and my life, and all of those things. And you know what? If you live long enough, if you gain some wisdom in your life, you'll come to a realization one day that all the time that you lived just for yourself, you lived it at a loss. A loss. There's a deficit there. There's an empty hole there. It's not fulfilling there just to live our lives just to please old self. If you don't believe me this morning, look at Hollywood. Look at that crowd out there, how happy they are. Man, that's got to be. Oh, everybody wants to be like that, but I don't know why. That's the most unhappy bunch. Fussing and fighting and feuding and in trouble and changing wives and husbands and getting in jail and out of jail. And my goodness, they've got everybody wanting to be like them and fame and fortune and all of that junk, but they just can't be happy. Why? Because you can't be happy just living for yourself. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of Me. I'll tell you. It's a great day. It'll be a great day in your Christian life when you come to the realization that it's not about me, it's all about Him. I'm talking about Him with the capital H. I'm talking about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. When Jesus said, this do in remembrance of Me, He was talking about remembering Him this morning. It's not about us. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the church. It's not about the singing, and it's not about what we do or who we are or our heritage or anything else. It's about Him this morning. It's all about Him. Anything we do, everything we do, we ought to remember it's all about Him. This do in remembrance of Me. I was reading a book a while back about Brother Lester Roloff. Man, I love to read about these old men of God and saints of God and how God used them. And his wife wrote that book and she said, Brother Roloff, that's what they called him, said he'd go all across the country. He got an airplane and, I mean, he just went all the time and preaching and going. And
She said he'd stand up in a meeting and say, and he had some messages that he preached over and over and over again, and people got a blessing out of it. People got saved out of his ministry and everything. She said he'd go preach and he'd say, hold his Bible up. And he'd say, if you get a blessing out of anything I say or do, it's because Christ has been magnified through this word. It wasn't about him. It was about him, capital H-I-M. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. This do in remembrance of me. I was reading about the great preacher John R. Rice, and there's a little book in our library back here that he wrote about prayer, and I've read that book, and boy, I'm interested in these things. And said that Brother Rice had went somewhere one time, and there was a lady, she was very, very sick, and she asked Brother Rice to come pray for her, and he went up to her, and he always carried a bottle of oil in his pocket because he believed in anointing people with oil and praying over. And he had had many, many people he had prayed for that God had touched them and healed them. And she said, I want you to come and pray for me. And he said he went and talked to her. And he said, now, lady, I'm going to pray for you, or ma'am. And he said, I believe God will heal you. But he said, you got to promise me one thing. She said, what is it? He said, you've got to promise me that you'll give the Lord Jesus all the glory and all the praise. He said, it's not me. I don't have the power to heal you or anything else. He said, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you understand that, don't you? Boy, if we'd understand it's all about him. It's about him. It's not about us. It's about him. And that's why I say this morning, that could be, you know, a lot of times people pick out a verse and they say, that's my life's verse. I've got several I really like. I like 1 Corinthians 10:31. For whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. If you can't do it to the glory of God, you shouldn't be doing it. You know, I like Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, see, and ask for the old pass. I like that. I like Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But as I was studying about this, I thought to myself, people say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's a lot of them. But as I was studying about this, I thought that right there could be any Christian's life verse. This do also in remembrance of me. Everything we do, that could be the life verse of the missionary. I've been in that place. I know, you know, being a missionary is hard. Oh, living at home, preaching to our people, all that stuff, that's relatively easy as to going thousands of miles away, spending Christmas by yourself, getting it in a box, not knowing, you know, everybody being a different faith and all. It's hard. It's hard. But I'll tell you, missionaries on the field, they could get a great amount of encouragement if when they're doing what they're doing, they just remember, this do also in remembrance of me. Be the missionary's life verse. Could be the Christian caretaker's life verse that's down in the nursing home or a nurse is in the hospital and people that care for people that's sick, how hard that is and how hard that must be to go and try to minister to somebody. Maybe they're grouchy and maybe they're fuss at you and you feel like fussing back. But I'll tell you, if we do what we do and remember that right there, that'd help you a whole lot. When I go to do something that's hard, I need to remember this morning, I'm not doing it for me, I'm not doing it for them, I'm doing it for him. This do also in remembrance of me. It's a Christian parents verse that's trying to raise their children for God and trying to set an example in this ungodly world, and it's hard and it's tough and sometimes you're the bad guy and all like that, but you know why I'm doing it? I'm doing it in remembrance of him and because of him. This do also in remembrance of me. It's a student's prayer. It's a preacher's prayer. It's a Sunday school teacher. I mean, we could go on and on and on this morning. When something's hard to do in your life, you just remember what the Lord done for you. What did he do for us, preacher? It's in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. That's what he done for us. This do in remembrance of me, the Lord Jesus Christ said. We need to remember what he's done and who he is and all of these things. And I want to show you one more thing this morning. One more reason why this is so important. Look in verse number 26, what the Word of God says. It says this, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." That little word "show" right there. What we're getting ready to do this morning, it is not just some type of religious observance. I mean, a lot of churches do it and they don't do it right. If you don't do it right, you don't do it real. But I hope and pray this morning we'll observe it right, because it's important. It is of utmost importance, because the Lord Jesus said, "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." That little word "show" there, I got studying about that. It means in the Greek language, it means to proclaim, to promulgate, to declare, to preach. You know what we're doing when we come together and have the Lord's Supper? One more time, and you know what? One of these days, it's going to be the last time. Because He said, "You do show the Lord's death till He come." But one more time, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to show the Lord's death. We're going to declare, we're going to proclaim, we're going to preach together the Lord's death, burial, and His resurrection. We're going to declare before the world and everybody gathered here together today, if you're saved by the grace of God, what He did for you, and that you accepted Him. It's not a saving ordinance. It doesn't save anybody. It is a feast of remembrance. We're preaching to the world. If you're here today, you've never been saved by the grace of God, and you cannot put your hand in that plate and take that bread, and you can't take that cup and take that which is representative of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are preaching to you. It is a literal picture that you're outside the body of Christ, and boy, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You're not on the inside. You're not part of the family of God. We're going to come together one more time and we're going to preach the old, old story. "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." Are you saved this morning? I mean, you know you're saved. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in this life, they're going through life thinking they're saved, hoping they're saved. Is that saved? I don't hope I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. I like that verse Brother Dwight said many, many times. "I know whom I believed in, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." I know I'm saved. You ought to know you're saved. If I didn't know I was saved, I'd be getting to where I'd be asking God to show me or do something in my life, because you ought to know you're saved. You know you're saved this morning. You really know. If you died today, where you'd go. If you're not, you need to get saved. But if you are saved, are you living your life? Are you doing what you're doing in remembrance for Him? By and through Him and by His power, because He's done so much for us. Jesus said there in verse number 24, when we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, a little small phrase that's so familiar to us, but I hope it's not so familiar that we forgot what it means. "This do in remembrance of Me."